When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Now, if you had to make the decision to have your leg amputated, could you do that? And would you be brave enough to do it? And would it be the right decision? Those are the questions that came for Andy Grant. And he tells us about the story that led to that decision in his book, which contains a lot of humour, actually, as well as the sad bits, obviously. Andy Grant joins us now. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us. The title of the book becomes apparent once we tell the story, but you're an ex-Marine and also very relevant. You're a Liverpool fan. You're in Afghanistan. So can you tell our listeners, firstly, you know, what the circumstances of your accident were?
Yeah, so I'd served in the Royal Marines. I'd served in Iraq, and it was now my turn to deploy to Afghanistan. It was in 2009, which hindsight tells us was the deadliest year for British armed forces, so it was a pretty sketchy time up there. Mm. And for me, it was the 3rd of February 2009. It was a routine foot patrol, one that I'd done many times before. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, so it was pitch black. And yeah, I was the second man in the patrol. My best mate jumped over an irrigation ditch. Unfortunately, what he didn't see was on the other side of the ditch, in between two trees, was a tripwire. He's jumped over the ditch. I was the second man. And as he landed, he hit the wire, and two bombs went off in between us, blowing him forwards and blowing me back. I remember the whole thing perfect. It took about 40 minutes or so for the guys to patch me up, keep me alive, and for the helicopter to come in. And I owe my life to the guys on the ground there, really. I suffered 27 separate injuries, broken elbow, broken sternum, severed my femoral artery. So I was in a pretty bad way. And then once the helicopter came in and picked me up, they placed me in a coma for 2 weeks, an induced coma. And then I spent the next 3 months in hospital. So it was a pretty bad day at the office, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were in a wheelchair. You spent 2 years in a wheelchair following the accident. And you then chose to have your leg amputated. So how did that happen then? What was the kind of procedure there that you had to make that choice?
Yeah, so when I woke up from the induced coma, they basically gave me an option of an amputation right there and then. Or the chance to basically grow my leg back,
right.
Which I'd basically lost 6 centimetres of my fibula and tibia, which is your shin bone.
Right.
And they put this huge metal contraption on my leg, and the idea was they'd break my leg in a separate position and try and grow the bone back. I mean, it's incredible what they can do in medical science these days. And obviously, at the time, I was in no rush to start chopping parts of my body off. That didn't need to be chopped off necessarily, so I listened to the surgeons and decided to give this cage a go on my leg. And like you say, for the next 18 months, I tried to keep the leg. Eventually, when the cage got taken off, they actually grew back the six centimetres of bone. So the operation had been a success, but the big problem was there was so much nerve damage to my leg. You could literally put a lighter or something under my leg, under my foot, and I couldn't feel it. And also, the bigger problem was my mindset. You know, I was used to being in the Marines, really fit, really active, and led a pretty, you know, outdoorsy, active, adrenaline-seeking kind of lifestyle. Yeah. And suddenly, I'm in a wheelchair, I can hardly walk, I'm taking a lot of painkillers, and, you know, life just was at a snail's pace, and it just wasn't for me. And that's what led me to start thinking about having the leg amputated for a better quality of life.
Yeah, I mean, it's a heck of a decision. How did they paint the picture of life after the amputation then? What was it about that conversation that gave you hope that that would be a better option?
Yeah, firstly, it was probably the toughest kind of 6 months of my life when I started considering that, because my dad was dead against the amputation. He was, as any concerned parent would be, didn't want me to go through more operations, and he was just had the attitude of, you know, just be grateful you're alive, you know, who cares if you can't run. Whereas for me, I was surrounded by other injured soldiers who were missing limbs, and they were learning to ski, learning to surf, they were climbing mountains. And all of a sudden, I was surrounded by all these people who were apparently really disabled, but were actually living a better lifestyle than me. And that was a big factor in me wanting to have the leg amputated, because I was just surrounded by so many inspirational people who were in a similar situation to me. but we're doing so much more with the life. And in the end, that was the thing that made me, you know, really consider having a leg amputated, really.
Wow. So the decision to have one leg amputated potentially would leave you in a better position to do things that you really wanted to do?
Oh, yeah, massively, yeah. I mean, it's a below-the-knee amputation, so, you know, to all my military friends and the bands that we have, it's classed as a twisted shock to many of them because I've only really lost the ankle. It's not a massive deal in that sense.
Right.
So it was a lot better situation than having such a badly damaged leg. That there was so much nerve damage and I was on a lot of painkillers, where now my life is an amputee. You know, I pop my leg on in the morning and then that's me. Then I walk the dog, go to the gym, go for a run. Pretty normal life now.
Whereas before you were absolutely confined to a wheelchair and that was it.
It wasn't so much. Some days I'd be in a wheelchair, then the next day I'd be hobbling around, then the next day it would feel okay, but then the next day I'd be in pain again. And I just got bored of not being able to live my life on my own terms. It was constantly waking up in the morning and thinking, is it going to be a good day today for the leg, or am I going to be riddled in pain and have to use a wheelchair? And it was just that inconsistency and not just living life on my terms, I guess. It was just I wanted to take control of my life again.
The actual amputation itself has a kind of nice part to the story regarding the surgeon himself, but also there's a funny side to the story. The surgeon was already good friends with you, really, by that point, before he did the amputation.
Well, I'd served in Iraq with my surgeon. I knew him really well, and when I decided to have the leg amputated, it was only one person I was going to call, and I rang him up, and it was such a weird, you know, 24, 48 hours, because, again, no one told me I had to have the leg amputated. It was all down to me.
Yeah.
So I found myself travelling down to Plymouth to have the leg amputated with my dad, and we were in the hotel the night before, and just had these weird feelings of, you know, I was standing at the bar, you know, having my last beer, I'm thinking, you know, this is the last beer I'm going to have with two legs.
Wow.
It was such a weird, weird feeling. And then, obviously, the next day, I go in to the hospital. They put me asleep, and then I woke up 2 hours later as an amputee. And the surgeon come round to see me, and he just said, Andy, how are you feeling? I said, yeah, I'm good, thanks, doc. Please tell me, how did the operation go? Because, obviously, I was just so anxious that, you know, hopefully I'd made the right decision. Hopefully the operation had went well. And he looked at me and he kind of said, Andy, I'm sorry, but there's good news, but there's also a little bit of bad news. And my heart just sunk, thinking, you know, there'd been complications or something that went wrong.
Yeah.
And he said, no, listen, don't worry. The good news is the operation went really well. I said, okay, perfect. And what could possibly be the bad news then? To which he said, well, I know you're a big Liverpool fan. And I said, right, okay. He said, well, on your leg you had a live bird that you'll never walk alone, tattooed. And I said, yeah, I got that when I was 16, you know, okay.
Yeah.
He said, well, for me to create a decent stump for you, I've had to pull the skin around from the back of the leg, you know, to create a decent stump so you can run and play football and climb mountains and do all the things you want to do. And I'm really sorry, but I've cut off the word alone. So your tattoo now reads, you'll never walk.
Just humour in tragedy, isn't it? That's just, and how wonderful you had that relationship with him already, that he was able to say that to you in that way.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we've been served together now in Iraq and Afghanistan, and great friends. We actually do presentations together. I'm a motivational speaker now. We do talks together, and I think having the surgeon and patient presentation and then that bit of the story always gets quite a laugh.
Oh, bet it does. And of course, the irony is that you'll never walk couldn't have been further from the truth.
Yeah, I mean, once the operation was done, I got sent home from hospital 4 days later with a box of paracetamol, and then that was me then, living life as an amputee. You know, I was running again within 4 or 5 months.
Wow.
Climb the highest mountain in Italy, the highest mountain in South America. I've done some 5 or 6 triathlons, half marathons, and lucky enough, I broke the world record and became the fastest single leg amputee in the world, over 10,000 metres, running a 10K in 37 minutes, 17 seconds. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic how the leg says you'll never walk, and I've been able to run and do much more.
And you talk about in your book that having your leg amputated was a decision which really did change your life in more ways than one, because you wouldn't have done those kind of challenges had you kept the leg.
No, not at all. No, I would have been stuck in a lifestyle where, you know, walking all day would have been a problem. Where now I'm doing a marathon on Sunday. Funnily enough, it just couldn't have been further. Lifestyle change couldn't have been further apart.
No.
And the running joke I have with my best mate Ian, who I got blown up with. I went to visit him in Scotland a few weeks back, and he said, the greatest thing I've done for our friendship is jump over that ditch and get us blown up. Because he looks at the lifestyle I've been able to kind of forge myself. And I'm just incredibly lucky. And I think having the amputation, although it was a hard decision to come by, you know, I lead a pretty, you know, a good life now. And it's all thanks to the people I've had around me. And just having trying to have a positive attitude when it comes to the challenges that life throws at me.
Well, that's an interesting point, isn't it? Because you talk as well about how hard and unfair life can be serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. I think everybody listening can understand that. But being in the Marines taught you to see the funny side when things got a bit tough.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the ethos of the Royal Marines, one of them's commando humour. And it's that kind of, you know, life's not always going to be, you know, sunshine and roses. It's tough sometimes. I always say you don't need to lose a leg in Afghanistan to realise life is tough.
Yeah.
You know, we all experience hard times in life, and you know, I just try now to not take myself too seriously, and you know that, you know, tomorrow is always a new day, and it's always a new chance to, you know, laugh it off and go again. And I think that, yeah, just trying to have that attitude in life really helped me. And you know, life's a roller coaster. At the end of the day, you know, you have highs and lows. The good times don't last forever, but the bad times won't either. And the important thing is to just enjoy the ride, because you only get to ride it once, as we all know.
Yeah, we do. What are your plans for the future then? Have you got other challenges at the back of your mind?
Well, the funny thing was, now my career is a motivational speaker, so I started off my career as a motivational speaker talking about being blown up, but then my big fear was to not sound like Uncle Al, but I phoning Phil's nurses, where he's saying, you know, during the war. So that's why I set myself so many challenges, so I didn't have to just keep on telling the same war story. So this year, I'm doing a marathon on Sunday, but then, to be honest, this year it's just all about trying to push my book out and trying to make that a success, and then probably come January, I'll need to think of a new challenge then, because I'll get itchy foot, I should say, so I'll need a new challenge. But this year it's just about doing a marathon in the summer, and then just trying to make the book a great success, and then if anyone's got any ideas for any challenges next year, maybe get in touch.
Absolutely. Well, the book's wonderful, very inspirational indeed, and as I said at the start, it's got its really, really humorous moments in it as well. It's called You'll Never Walk, as we've just explained the reason for that. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you, sir, Andy. Thank you so much for coming on, and good luck with whatever you decide to do in this next year or so.
No, thanks very much.
Really appreciate it. All the best. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye now.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.